live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks. The Young Turks, Jake Huber, Anarchist Fairy, big day. We have a VP nominee. Well, I don't know that I'm that excited about it, but we're going to talk about it. We're going to tell you whether we're excited or not. We're going to tell you about not just the present, but the future in regards to that. That's obviously a giant, giant story, but we got plenty of giant stories on today's show. And then after the show, normally post game is just for members, but today it's public to everyone. So keep on watching past 7 o'clock Eastern. And then we've got our special on what the future looks like. And Andrew Yang is going to join us. He just had a tweet about it not being invited to be a speaker at the DNC. Drew Roms, I'll ask him about that. I think that this will probably be his first interview before then. So Nomi Prince is going to talk about the financial future. The editor-in-chief of The Wired is going to be on. The president of the NAACP, living legend Dolores Huerta. All these folks are going to be on. So it's going to be an amazing, amazing special. So that's all free and available to everyone today. So right after the post game, that starts. And after that is old school. And if you miss any portion of any of this, you do tyt.com/join and you get all of our videos. Or on YouTube, you click the join button. And at the highest level, you get access to all of our videos anytime you want. Okay, so that's what's coming up. Oh, by the way, donor names already. Alan C in LA, $50. TYT.com/go. Corey M, ooh, almost. I thought Bakersfield, California, $15. We love you guys. TYT.com/go because we're going to need to beat Trump. And then afterwards, we're going to need to beat this ticket in 2024. Okay, so let's get started.
All right. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden has chosen Kamala Harris as his running mate. This is not much of a surprise to most people. We know about the pretty extensive list of women he was considering, but Kamala Harris seemed to always be at the top. Now, he released a statement about his decision saying, "I need someone working alongside me who is smart, tough and ready to lead. Kamala is that person. I need someone who understands the pain that so many people in our nation are suffering, whether they've lost their job, their business, a loved one to this virus." The president says he doesn't want to be distracted by it. He doesn't understand that taking care of the people of this nation, all the people, isn't a distraction. It's the job. Kamala understands that. So, even though I'm not surprised by it, it still stung a little bit as a progressive who was really still, I know it was naive and ridiculous, still hoping that maybe someone with progressive policy proposals would be considered, chosen. I think Karen Bass was the best option of the candidates, policy-wise specifically. But I think Kamala Harris is a decent pick when it comes to helping Joe Biden win. So that doesn't mean that I agree with her prosecutorial record. It doesn't mean that I'm actually expecting this Democratic ticket to do anything to fundamentally improve some of the big issues we have in this country, including income and wealth inequality, our broken healthcare system, housing insecurity and homelessness. Like, those are huge issues that matter to me above all. And unfortunately, I just don't see this ticket really doing anything to fundamentally change the system that we're really failing under. But I do think that Kamala Harris is a good pick if Biden wants to appeal to voters.
Okay, so first of all, is the ticket of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris better than Trump and Pence? only about a million times. So now none of what I'm going to say is going to appease anyone that is a stalwart on any given side. But it is real and it's true. So I think most of you will actually agree. So to me, Biden or Trump, that's not even remotely close. Kamala Harris or Mike Pence, not remotely close. So yes, I would look forward to having them, us telling you why they're better than Trump, because it's true and we mean it, and having them win. And it is going to be an enormous relief when they do. And right now they're up by a ton. I don't want to get back into, oh no, double anti-jinx because of 2016, blah, 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 okay? And I agree with Anna overall. I think Kamala Harris will motivate voters better than some other picks that he could have made, partly because the establishment media loves her so much that they're going to tell everybody, this is so exciting. Now you have someone who's going to fight for you. Now, do I think that's true? Not really. But will the media say that? 100%. Will it motivate some to go to the polls? Yes. So beating Trump, great, wonderful. Now, after they win, we'll probably fight them tooth and nail. And I don't know why people find this so hard to grasp. They are, both Biden and Kamala Harris are not progressives. And they are better than Trump. So easy to understand, but people struggle with it. They're like, I don't, but wait a minute, if they're better than Trump, doesn't that mean you have to love them? No, it doesn't mean that at all. If they're not progressives, doesn't that mean you have to hate them? No, not at all. It means they're better than Trump, and after they win the election, we're gonna challenge them every single day. And I'll be honest with you, I would be shocked if they're a progressive administration. They have shown no inclination in that direction. Hence, I look forward to primarying either Joe Biden or Kamala Harris in 2024. Almost certainly will help to do that. Of course, there's a way that would not happen is if they actually, let's say, for example, pass Medicare for All or Green New Deal or massively reform the policing system. Instead of, it got $15 minimum wage, got money out of politics, college for all. A couple of
come on, man.
All of them, but a couple of these, and I'd go, whoa, I didn't expect that. That's wonderful. No, we're not going to primary them. But you know, and I know, and the media knows, they're not going to do any of that. And when they don't, then the media will yell at us and go, wait a minute now, this, they're on your side. Well, they'll have to prove that, won't they? I know Trump's not on my side. And I know that Biden and Harris are better, but I also know that so far they've shown no inclination to agree with us on almost any of our issues.
Well, okay, so I also want some clarification on something, because I just find it kind of incredible how people, and you're right, I mean, I was watching CNN prior to going live because I was curious to see how they were handling it. And of course, they were gushing about her, and that was to be expected. But you know, they had guests on, and the narrative in regard to Kamala Harris's prosecutorial record is that, well, what could she have done? Right, as a black woman, working as a prosecutor within this system, there's only so much that she can do. Okay, fair enough. But you can't make that argument and then simultaneously say that Kamala Harris serving as the vice president is going to single-handedly improve race relations in this country, right? Because she's still going to be elected if they get elected. Under this system, which, by the way, Joe Biden has been very clear in stating he has no interest in changing. So you can't make both arguments at the same time. We got to be real about what we're dealing with. And you're right. I think that it's the most common sense argument to say Trump is a disaster. We need to get Trump out. But also, after you get Trump out, like, what are we supposed to do? Just pretend like people in positions of power are A-OK as long as it's not Donald Trump, and we're not ever allowed to criticize them or critique them or hold their feet to the fire if they failed us as a country? Come on. And if you don't like that, then go watch cable news. Like, go watch some other show that loves to suck up to power as long as it's not Donald Trump. But this is not that show.
That's 100% right. Believe me, if you want 4 straight years of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris ass kissing. Cable news will deliver it to you. MSNBC can't wait. They're already doing it right now, right now. Oh, she a godsend, etc. What has she done? What is she gonna do? And look, guys, I'm telling you ahead of time. If she, for example, convinces Joe Biden while they're in office, hey, you know what, Joe, what are you doing? Not with marijuana still a Schedule I drug? Are you insane? No, we're gonna decriminalize marijuana, legalize marijuana, of course. What are you doing? Especially if we get the Senate, we're gonna pass $15 minimum wage. That's easy, easy. Look, those are the bare minimum. That is the lowest bar you could imagine. And if Biden still doesn't want to do it and Kamala Harris helps him to get there, great, then that's fantastic. And if they could do just one other thing, like Medicare for All or Green New Deal, or like this is unimaginable, but getting money out of politics. Are you kidding me? If they help get money out of politics, I will love them forever. And then I will say that they are progressive because they did something progressive. They did something super important that's progressive. We only care about the facts. Whereas the rest of the media is obsessed with what side are they on, what do they look like, all of the superficial nonsense. Guys, you want to know what we think? It's super easy to follow. It's the policy, stupid. So as Clinton said, it's the economy, stupid. It's the policies that we care about. So if they give us the policies, we'll love them. If they don't, we'll fight them. And that's how it works.
Exactly. And I want to read one of the comments from our members, and you can become a member of TYT by going to tyt.com/join. Members help to keep our show sustainable. Jay Hufford made a statement, and I want to hear what you think about it, Cenk. He says, as terrible as Harris is, she is the correct pick. Scaring white people by showing video of rioters is the only card Trump has left to play. Biden wrote the crime bill and Harris was a prosecutor, thus completely neutralizing that last card. What do you think about that point?
Yeah, I appreciate the comment, but I actually think I'm not worried about that. Right now, Trump has like a 2/3 disapproval rating on how he's handled the protests that have happened after George Floyd's killing. So I think Biden and if Kamala Harris leans in his direction there, I think that's a mistake and doesn't neuter that. It only helps firm up his framing on that. I think that would be a political mistake, but I don't think they're going to make that political mistake. If we're keeping it real, the thing that she's going to help on is turning out the most consistent, loyal, and important voting bloc in the Democratic Party. That's African Americans. And so will she help in that regard? Probably. Is it really important? Yes, it's really important. And so I think that she helps in that regard. Look, in terms of who is going to get picked, I told you there was really only 4 people they were considering. And only one of them is someone I would call progressive, even though some of you might disagree. So they were never gonna pick Karen Bass or Tammy Baldwin or Keisha Lance Bottoms, et cetera. So those are wonderful people, but they were never gonna pick them. The only 4 that were in consideration, in my opinion, based on everything that I've read and everything that I know, were Kamala Harris, Susan Rice, Gretchen Whitmer, and the dark horse there was Elizabeth Warren, right? And so I think they did actually consider her, but as usual, she got snubbed. So we'll talk more about that later. But so among those, Kamala Harris was always the favorite. And among those, I think Warren would have helped with some contingent of voters. And by the way, Warren polled excellent with African-American voters. And Kamala Harris helps with some faction of voters. The other 2, I don't think would have helped at all in the race. And the other thing is, Biden doesn't really need much help. He's up by a gazillion points, not because he's great, but because Trump's an epic, historic disaster. So, I mean, you would have to be the most incompetent Democrat in the world to lose to Donald Trump. Oh yeah, that already happened. So I'm hoping, even if Biden is the second most incompetent Democrat in history, he still won't lose to Donald Trump. That's how unpopular Donald Trump is. And in terms of Biden's, competence, he's okay. He's hanging in there. So I know the rest of news thinks you should do news with pom-poms on. And so they get really mad at us if we don't cheerlead for Joe Biden and now Kamala Harris. They're like, what kind of journalist are you? You should be cheerleading for the Democratic leadership, right? But we tell you what the reality is. Billion times better than Donald Trump. and not nearly progressive enough. So I look forward to fighting Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. What I would look forward to more is not fighting them if they actually pass progressive bills. I do want to talk about one other thing here. Oh, by the way, 3 years ago, almost exactly 3 years ago, I said that the establishment wanted Kamala Harris. And voila, here we are, 3 years later, Kamala Harris. Okay, she didn't win enough votes, she didn't run a good enough campaign, but what the establishment wants, the establishment gets. One last thing to discuss here. Elizabeth Warren. So she did not get the VP pick. And I just want to talk about realpolitik here a little bit. So the idea from the Warren camp, not based on anything I know, but from what we can see from the outside, was that, hey, if we don't back Bernie and we back Joe Biden, or we stay neutral, then the establishment will like us and we'll get picked. Well, that didn't work in 2016 and it didn't work in 2020. This is not to rub it in, as a lot of you know and criticize me for. I actually really like Elizabeth Warren. I think she is a real progressive in her policies, and that is why she also will not get other important positions. I'll get to that in a second. But terrible political strategy. This is not to rub it in, because I like her and I largely agree with her policies. It's to give a warning to other progressives. I don't mean as in terms of like threats from progressive community media, et cetera. No, I mean in terms of the establishment. They don't like you. They're never going to like you. They're never going to pick you. So please get it through your head. They are not your friends. It doesn't matter how many favors you do them, how nice you are to them. It's not going to be you. By the way, if you're a progressive in Congress now and you have dreams of Nancy Pelosi handing you the Speaker of the House because she likes you or you're popular, not going to happen under any circumstance. So that leads me back to Elizabeth Warren. Now there's folks with good intent saying, ooh, maybe they'll give Elizabeth Warren Senate Majority Leader and push Schumer out. No, they won't. Because first of all, that's not how it works. I would love it if that happened, but they don't agree with her. They're if Warren is sitting there kicking the banker's asses and 90% of the Democratic senators have to kiss banker ass to get donor money, they're not gonna make Elizabeth Warren their leader. That is, I think it's inconceivable. I hope I'm wrong about that. And finally, they're talking about Treasury Secretary. Here, I'll tell you the excuse they're going to use right now. Well, did you know that if she becomes Treasury Secretary, then Republican governor of Massachusetts for a brief period of time, we get to put a Republican into that seat. So, I mean, we would have picked Elizabeth Warren for Treasury Secretary and have her actually hold the corporations and banks accountable. But golly gee, there's nothing we can do. We can't pick her in that position. So at the end, you know what we're going to give Elizabeth Warren? Donut. Nothing at all. And so that's not us. Understand that, Warren Kim. That's the establishment. So progressives, for God's sake, stick together, because they're not your friends on the other side, and they're never going to agree with you, and they're never going to give you anything.
There's nothing to disagree with there. Just one quick note before we go to break. Monica for Democracy writes in and says, so Cenk, have you paid Anna for the bet you lost yet? I mean, I know we still have a few months till the election, but remember, Cenk believed that Trump would drop out of the race. Highly unlikely at this point. So if you wanna, I like cash advances. I'm in favor of a cash advance here, yeah. Okay? Right, but if I lose, I'll pay you back with interest.
So look. I'm gonna run the big on you. That's for sure. Okay. So look, guys. I love saying I'm right on certain things. I just did it. I said the establishment wanted Kamala Harris. I said it 3 years ago. I was right about that. By hell or high water, they're gonna get Kamala Harris. But I also don't mind / kind of enjoy telling you when I'm wrong. Okay. So right now it looks like I'm gonna lose that bet and pretty hard. So Anna, yeah, get your Venmo account ready. Okay. So I said Trump would leave office before the election. I said that right from day one. And it hasn't happened, and it doesn't look like it's gonna happen. And there's a number of miscalculations there. I could explain at length why I was wrong about that, but bottom line is, it appears right now that I'm wrong about it. Other things I was wrong about, by the way, on election day, I said Elizabeth Warren could be the nominee and would landslide Donald Trump. Elizabeth Warren's not the nominee. When the primary started, and I realized Bernie Sanders is going to run again, I didn't think he was going to on the election day of 2016. When I realized he's going to run again, I thought for sure that he was going to win the primary. I wasn't right about that. So there's plenty of things that I'm wrong about. And you just, the thing that matters most, guys, is facts. Okay. I try to, and I could tell you why I made those predictions, and I could tell you why there was a lot of substance and truth to that, but why they were wrong, and then we learn from that, so we get better and better in our analysis, and better and better winning. And if you've noticed, we've had some victories lately, Jamal Bowman, Cori Bush, etc. The more we learn, the better we get. You can't be like Donald Trump and say, I don't care about facts, I'm never gonna learn anything, because then you'll never grow. And we need this progressive movement to grow so we can get more victories, so we can get the bills passed and improve your lives.
When we come back from the break, we'll talk about how Donald Trump is going to exploit this pandemic to offer more tax cuts for the wealthy. And later in the show, we will talk about the smear campaign against progressive Alex Morse in Massachusetts.
Come right. We need to talk about a relatively new show called Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, you must unlearn what you have learned. And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Right back.
All right, back in the Young Turks, time for member comments. Gavin writes simply, Rokana for Senate. Okay, now this is drama, guys. Now that Kamala Harris is going to be the VP pick, that means her Senate seat likely will be open. And here we go. Rokana's a possibility. First of all, there's gonna be an appointment, and that will not be Rokana. Gavin Newsom will appoint a very, very establishment pick. And then once we have the election, Rokana's a possibility. Karen Bass will probably run. Adam Schiff will probably run. Becerra will definitely run. And Garcetti from LA might run. It is going to be free for all. By the way, Karen Bass is my congresswoman.
Karen Bass is the best out of everyone you listed, but you know, no, she once said something. Well, yes, you're right. Rokana is the best. Rokana should probably get that seat. But Karen Bass is great. I mean, look, people who seem to love Kamala are like, oh, you guys would be unhappy no matter who Biden chose. No, I'd be happy with Karen Bass. And she's not even as far to the left as I would like, but she understands the importance of empowering workers. And of course, as you could expect, She once said something that was kind of sort of nice about Castro, but not really. After he died, she brought up how the people of Cuba are mourning his death, something along those lines. And that's it. That's all you need to say. That's all you need to say. That's it. You're a communist. You're going to take people's private property away. You're the devil. That's how this country works. It's pathetic. Anyway.
Anyway, it should be an interesting race, and that would have an open seat here, right here. That'll be interesting. Anyway,
No, Cenk, I just realized what you're like hinting at. Like, I will quit. Like, you have my promise. I'm saying it live on air. If you try to run again, I will quit this job. Period.
Okay. All right. Let me do more comments. Noah Oberman writes in, fascinating, not spelled the right, same way as Keith Oberman. Cenk, when she flip-flopped, Harris did sign on to Medicare for All. We could at least use that leverage to push them to change their minds on it. Yes, that's true. And so again, the only thing that matters is policy. If Kamala Harris and Joe Biden pass Medicare for All, love them forever. It's all good, no primaries, no nothing, awesome. Yes, and let's use every piece of leverage we have to get them there. And if they don't, then we primary. I love your comments. We read the member comments first, tyt.com/join. And Progressive Pirate says, I prefer space alien invasion to a second Trump administration at this point. Hear, hear. Okay, totally, utterly agree. So I'll take Biden and Harris in a second. And then if they do the establishment-y things that they are very, very likely to do, I'll fight them in a second. And that's how we roll with the Young Turks. All right.
Well, let's.
By the way, thank you to everybody who used YouTube Super Chat and all the gifted subs. Obi-Mom Kenobi added again on Twitch. All the bits, donations, and lots of great comments about Anna. We love you guys. Thanks for watching on Twitch and all the other places where we're on. All right, go for it, Anna.
Not a big deal. I'm very popular on Twitch, I hear. Anyway, let's talk about tax cuts. So Trump is pitching a capital gains tax cut, which of course would overwhelmingly benefit the wealthiest people in this country in the middle of this pandemic, when working people are suffering, do not have a source of income in tens of millions of cases, and desperately need financial relief, which has not been accomplished for them. So here's Trump talking about a potential capital gains tax cut during one of his recent press briefings.
We're looking at also considering a capital gains tax cut, which would create a lot more jobs. So we're looking very seriously at a capital gains tax cut, and also at an income tax cut for middle income families. We're looking at expanding the tax cuts that we've already done, but specifically for middle income families. And you'll be hearing about that in the upcoming few weeks.
So that is not a video from 2017. This is not deja vu. It's the exact same argument that Donald Trump used when he successfully passed his tax cuts in 2017. And the vast majority of those cuts benefited, of course, the wealthiest people. And he used the same line that he was looking to help the middle class. Here's a little reminder of that.
We're looking at a major tax cut for middle income people. We need it.
Tax reduction of 10%.
We will cut taxes for middle class families.
But the president also wants to look at areas when you talk about the middle class. How can we help them further?
Our tax plan is aimed to return more income back to hardworking Americans.
A middle income tax reduction of about 10%.
But it'll be great for the middle class. It's going to be a tax reduction of 10% for the middle class.
10% reduction for middle class families. That's doable. We're just working through it.
This is really about a middle income tax cut.
Okay.
Our tax plan is aimed at making sure we give middle class Americans a tax cut. We are going to give middle class Americans a tax cut.
This will be on top of the tax reduction that the middle class has already gotten.
I think the president is looking and prioritizing middle class tax relief. He's made no secret about that.
A major tax cut for middle income people, not for business at all, for middle income people.
They're going to have a middle income tax cut.
Our tax plan will reduce taxes for our middle class.
That's all for the middle class. That's on top of the tax cut we got for the middle class.
I mean, I would hope they support this, because this is all about middle income tax cuts and putting people back to work.
We're doing a pure 10% tax cut for the middle class. It's going to be a tax reduction of 10% for the middle class.
I'll say this, the last couple of years.
Yeah, so more than 60% of those tax savings went to the top 20%. And the corporate tax rate was actually cut by 40%. So it was not a middle class tax cut, just like what he's proposing now with a capital gains tax cut is not going to benefit the vast majority of Americans who could use some help. In fact, it's going to significantly lower revenue, which means that social safety net programs that would help the middle class and the working class in the middle of this pandemic are likely to get cut even further. So just real quick, Cenk, when it comes to the capital gains tax cuts, most of the benefits would go to high income households, with the top 1% receiving 86% of the benefit. And that's according to estimates in 2018 by the Penn Wharton budget model. The policy could reduce tax revenue by $102 billion over a decade, the model found. And the 2017 tax cuts, of course, cut tax revenue to the tune of $2 trillion in 10 years.
Yeah. So first of all, on Trump's lies, the middle class did not get any tax cut along the lines of what they described. So Anna told you what they get in the beginning. The rich got over 60% in the beginning. By the end, millionaires get 83% of the benefits of Trump's $2 trillion tax cut from earlier in his administration. So it was always for the rich. Now, in the middle of this pandemic, and by the way, he said, it's not for the business at all. Then he cut business corporate tax from 35% to 21%. It was totally for business. It was for the corporations who bought Donald Trump and created the swamp. So now, when he, in the middle of this pandemic, they actually did two good things last time, and it was because the Democrats pushed him to do it. And I gave credit to Nancy Pelosi, who I think normally is not very good, but her and the progressives who pushed her in that direction. The PPP was well designed, which is shocking for Washington, actually did help small businesses. So this time around, they're like, no more. No way we're helping small businesses. That's totally dropped from the conversation. Not on the table. Even the Democrats didn't put it on the table. So small businesses eliminated. No chance that you're going to. That legislation worked? Hell no. Never again, right? And then the unemployment that went $600 a week, that also worked so that the economy and people's lives didn't crater after 20 million people went into unemployment. Now we're talking about butchering that. And Trump is talking about capital gains. That's only for the rich. Look, you get capital gains if you sell stock, you sell a building. You guys own buildings? Do a lot of you own buildings? If you own buildings, then yes, you're thrilled to have the capital gains. Do you own companies? If you own a company, then you're thrilled to have the capital gains taxes cut. But in terms of creating jobs, wait, when you sell your building or your company or your stock 10 years from now, that's when you get the benefit of a capital gains tax cut. How the hell would that create jobs today? No, it's nothing but a giant lie. It's just a huge giveaway to the rich. But look, our media, even in their frenzied anti-Trump state, they still won't tell you things that are super important, because the Democrats and Republican establishment actually loves capital gains tax cuts. The media, who has a lot of money, loves capital gains tax cuts. So they're not going to tell you, hey, by the way, this has nothing to do with the pandemic. This is to use the pandemic as an opportunity to help rich people again.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely saw that with the Federal Reserve's actions and, you know, the trillions of dollars it printed to help bail out the big banks. But I just want to make one quick counterpoint to what you just said about the media, because this was pretty shocking to me, because this guy is usually typically very wrong on everything. But Jim Cramer, of all people, the host of a CNBC show, actually disagrees with a capital gains tax cut. He tweeted the following: I think it may be the time for rancor. If we go for a capital gains tax cut, the rich do not need help. The unemployed do, the small business person does. That person does not have capital gains.
Well, so, no. Look, we always tell you facts matter, okay? So Jim Cramer, excellent job. credit to Jim Cramer for pointing out something that is indisputably true. And I mean, that's the hilarious part about the media, that the bar is so low that we're like, oh my God, somebody said something that's true. Yes, nice job, Jim Cramer.
I know. By the way, snaps to Brett for having Jim Cramer B-roll ready to go. That was impressive. Surprised we had that. Anyway, all right, well, let's move on because there's more news to get to. Donald Trump referred to NBA players who disagree with him politically as very dumb. In fact, here he is on Fox Sports Radio's Outkick the Coverage talking about it.
It seems like every time you send a tweet, an executive, a coach, a player, somebody will come out and immediately fire back at you. But yet the NBA is taking billions of dollars from China. There are all sorts of human rights violations going on in China right now. And none of the players and none of the coaches will say a word about that. Does it feel hypocritical that they will rip the United States? They won't stand for the anthem. They'll rip you as the president, but they won't say a negative word about China at all?
Well, I haven't noticed them sending things back at me, but I will say that, you know, I wouldn't be that surprised. Some are very nasty, very, very nasty, and frankly, very dumb.
Okay, look, I was gonna let this go, but I can't help myself. Like the framing of that question. Yeah, dude, yeah. You know, the NBA, they should do lectures on foreign policy in China because that's what their you know, whole expertise is all about. No, they're disagreeing with policing in this country. They feel the need to voice their opposition to the way disenfranchised groups of people, particularly black people, are treated in this country. But their careers are not about politics. Anyway, but what was amazing about that answer from Trump in that leading question was that he has the audacity to call other people stupid, especially when during one of his recent press conferences, he said this.
Now we don't have to close it. We understand the disease. Nobody understood it because nobody's ever seen anything like this. The closest thing is in 1917, they say, right? The great pandemic certainly was a terrible thing where they lost anywhere from 50 to 100 million people. Probably ended the Second World War. All the soldiers were sick. It was a terrible situation, and this is highly contagious. This one is highly, highly contagious.
So the last major pandemic happened in 1918, and the Second World War did not happen that early in our history. It happened in 1945. But Cenk, jump in. I don't want to have all the fun here.
Yeah. All right. So let's clarify a couple of things for Dum Dum. Look, we all know that it wasn't World War II, it was World War I. He got almost nothing right there. And you know, you could say, hey, maybe that was a slip of the tongue. Okay, but he is now called the 1918 flu, which is known as the 1918 flu. The flu that happened in 1917, he said about half a dozen times. To me, that's more troubling. Why? That means he's impervious to facts. So either no one has told him, oh, Mr. President, you keep saying 1917 when it's called the 1918 flu, or he tells him, he's like, no, it happened in 1917. That's what a moron does. And look, person, woman, man, camera, TV. This is one of the dumbest people that has ever existed, let alone been in office. I point that all the out all the time, but in this case, I'm super pissed about it because of his over the top racism. Whenever he talks about black people, he always calls them nasty and dumb. No, dumb, you don't know anything. And like a dumb, you make assumptions based on race. Now you think, well, Cenk, how do you like, you know, basketball? Are you sure it's because of race? Get a load of what else he said. Okay, I'm gonna read you the full quote. He said, I think that the NBA is in trouble. I think it's a big trouble, bigger trouble than they understand. Now look at this turn. Frankly, the ice hockey, which is doing very well, they didn't do that. They respected the Moors. They respected what they're supposed to be doing. And they're actually doing very well, as I understand it. Why did he pick hockey out of all the sports? Hockey is good. By the way, people are kneeling in hockey. It isn't about politics. White people play hockey. He also mentioned golf. Oh, look at that. Just a total coincidence that the two whitest sports, golf and hockey, are the ones that he picked. to say, oh, good job on that. But, you know, basketball full of those players, you know how they are. They're very bad. By the way, is he right about the ratings? Of course, everything is ratings for him. In other parts of the interview, he talked about, oh, the ratings are way down, way down. They're not doing as well. Basketball has way better ratings than hockey or baseball. So all of this is because Donald Trump thinks the whole country is racist just like him. That's why they don't like basketball, because it's filled with black players and all those players are dumb. And just by the fact that he's white, he thinks he's a very stable genius. Well, I got news for you, dumb dumb. You're the idiot here. It's 1918. You're in the middle of a pandemic. You might want to remember the giant pandemic that happened in 1918. No, but you never care to do the homework because you're so freaking stupid.
All right, well, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about Alex Morse, the progressive candidate running in Massachusetts, and more. Come right back.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's ExpressVPN.com/TYT. Check it out today.
All right, back on the Young Turks. So first, a note from both of our sponsors. You could win a Zoom Electric electric scooter if you sign up for an Aspiration account. How's that for synergy? So in order to win the scooter, you've got to be a new account sign up, but you could also have an account and refer friends for your chance to win. So you could do it one of two ways, but either way, go to tyt.com/greensummer. It's green, obviously, because it's electric scooter. Plus, Aspiration doesn't put your money into any fossil fuel related investments. So it's a win-win for progressives. So check that out. All right. So now, comments from you guys, members first. Burrito Bendito writes, and Trump's tax cuts is like a piece of cheese on a mousetrap. So I forgot to mention, and thank you for bringing it up. The other reason why he's doing capital gains tax cuts, it's not going to win him any voters. There's not like, oh yeah, Michigan, all the people with giant real estate holdings went for Trump and he won by 2 votes. No, he's doing it for the donors. He's telling the donors, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you. Keep funneling money in my direction. Let me move on here. Isabel Amelia Thompson on YouTube Super Chat said, I just got my We Press On t-shirt in the mail and it rocks. I wish I could attach a picture. Hashtag TYT Army, hashtag We Press On. Isabel, you're the best. Anybody who gives $127 or more at tyt.com/go gets that shirt. And I love it. Thank you. Michael Goldman says, my prediction after Cori Bush won was the establishment would fight back and use every lowdown trick they could think of. Now more than ever, we need to support Alex Morse. Boy, Michael, yes. You're 1,000% right. And we're about to talk about that. And I'm going to rage on that topic. By the way, Obi Mom Kenobi on Twitch donated 1,000 bits, quote, for Brett being awesome. And then another 1,000 bits. Because the next 4 years is going to be tough and we need TYT. You guys are great. And Biggest Justin just resubbed for their second month with Prime. Quote, woo, another sub for TYT. Love you guys. Keep it salty and factual. They love you out there, Anna. All right.
Thank you. Okay. One quick note as well. So Ilhan Omar is actually up for re-election today in Minnesota. If you are in her congressional district, please, please vote for her. The way this is being reported is that this is going to be a tough race. And look, that's what they said about AOC. That's what they said about Rashida Tlaib. But based on everything I've read about this race, it does seem like, it's going to be somewhat of a challenge to win her reelection. Again, if you're in her congressional district, please vote for Ilhan Omar. Please stand by her because she fights for us.
I don't think these folks know anything about politics. And I said AOC and Rashida would crush. They did crush. I think Ilhan would crush. But do not ever take anything for granted. Please vote. Always vote. It's super important. The only way that Ilhan Omar could lose is if you take it for granted. So if you're in Minnesota, take action. All right. Go ahead, Anna.
All right. Progressive candidate Alex Morse is challenging Representative Richard Neal in Massachusetts. And as we quickly approach the election date, the primary election specifically, all of a sudden Morse is dealing with accusations of sexual misconduct, sort of. So Morse taught at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst from 2014 to 2019. The school is now investigating him because anonymous individuals have put out an open letter arguing that Morse engaged in inappropriate conduct. So they are not very specific about a lot of this, but I will read you verbatim what they put out there and what they're accusing this progressive of. The first issue alleges that Morse regularly matched with students on dating apps, including Tinder and Grindr, who were as young as 18 years old. These students included members of the College Democrats of Massachusetts, UMass, Amherst Democrats, and other groups in the state. Now, when these interact, by the way, when he would match with people on these dating apps, he was between the ages of 25 and 30. He's currently 31 years old. So when they mention the people as young as 18, which by the way are adults, they're trying to make it seem like there's this massive age gap between Morse and the people who he ended up matching with on dating apps. But let me just explain something in case you've never been on a dating app, if you're fortunate enough to never have to deal with Tinder or Grindr or any of that stuff. You tell the app what you're interested in, right? What your preferences are, and then you can match with anyone that falls under those preferences. You don't have to do anything after that. Doesn't mean that he went around like harassing people, none of that. He just happened to match with people on a dating app. So that is a stupid accusation. It's disgusting, but let me give you more.
Anna, the second issue. Before you do, I just want to jump in on something. Look, Alex is gay. And so I think that they're using that against him in a pretty vile way. So when I was 25, did I date someone who was 22? Probably, I don't remember, right? And so is that a thing that's outrageous? Not remotely. But they don't tell you Alex's age, and they say matched with as young as 18. Does Alex know that they were 18? Did he actually do anything with them? No. Do they know what the age difference was on any of these? No. And so it's an unbelievable smear, and it is buttressed by the stereotypes that people have in their heads. And they're using that and weaponizing that against them. Oh, a gay candidate with an 18-year-old boy. That's what they're trying to evoke in your head. It's disgusting. This is what the establishment does. Later, I'll tell you the three different groups of people attacking him and their different motivations, but it's all horrific. This is what they do to every progressive guy. The minute that he's challenging someone powerful, oh, did he have the right kind of sex? I don't know. Let's look into his sex life.
It's disgusting.
By the way, later I'd like to look into, I mean, I wouldn't like to, but are we having a conversation about people's personal lives? Okay, well, let's look into Richard Neal's. I bet we find something that isn't very pleasant in there. But no. Never talk about the establishment. That's out of bounds. But when it's a progressive, kick him. Hell no. I'm with Alex Morse.
So let me give you more. The second issue that they talk about in this open letter, using College Democrat events to meet college students and add them on Instagram, adding them to his close friend's story and DMing them, both of which have made young college students uncomfortable, according to the letter. Okay, but let's get specific. So is the very act of meeting people at whatever event and then adding them on social media sexual misconduct? And if you feel uncomfortable, get over it. This is the real, if that makes you uncomfortable, you're gonna be suicidal soon. Because the real world is horrible. And if someone friending you on Instagram is what makes you feel violated, which, by the way, I don't believe anyone feels violated. All these people are anonymous. None of their accusations are specific. None of their accusations highlight any real sexual misconduct. This is so disgusting, beyond disgusting. But let me give you more. We've heard countless stories of Morse adding students to his close friend's story and direct messaging members of college Democrats on Instagram in a way that makes students feel pressured to respond due to his status, the letter read. No, be specific. Be specific. You're gonna put this out, right? You're gonna try to destroy his political career. You're gonna try to destroy his candidacy. You think this is cute. You think it's fun and games. Why don't you be specific? What is he messaging you? Oh, you can't be specific. Let me give you one more. The third issue, having sexual conduct with college students, including at UMass Amherst, where he teaches, and the Greater Five College Consortium. Okay, let's have a discussion about that for a second. None of these students were his students, not one. So he had no power over them whatsoever. No power over them, okay? So if you wanna talk to me about power dynamics, understand that he had no power over these students. Secondly, really? So when I teach at Cal State Northridge, let's say I'm in a situation where I'm single. I'm a lecturer at Cal State Northridge, and I meet someone who's a student at Cal State Fullerton. So am I engaging in sexual misconduct if I date that person? How ridiculous is that? I mean, Cenk, I can't stand this kind of stuff. It's cheap. It's very obvious that this is politically motivated. And by the way, Richard Neal very conveniently donated $1,000 to the college Democrats. But I'm sure that has nothing to do with this hit job that they've put out there to try to destroy the candidacy of a progressive like Alex Morse.
Okay, I was looking up Alex Morse's website, so I can tell you to donate to him. Look, there are three different groups that are attacking him here. One is the folks who are homophobic that I explained earlier. Two is the biggest contingency is the establishment. They're like, oh my God, Richard Neal that he's running, yes, is corrupt. He takes more corporate PAC money than anyone else in Congress. He's literally the most corrupt person in Congress. So they're like, oh, squirrel, Alex Morse once tried to date someone and he's gay, squirrel, right? So the establishment is attacking him. Richard Neal paid for this attack. He bought this attack. So that's the kind of sick guy that Richard Neal is. And yes, by the way, if you attack someone for having relationships when they're gay that actually are not inappropriate, you are homophobic. That's who Richie Neal is, but you won't see that in any of the media. I'll tell you why they're doing this. The third group is more honest, but I think they're wrong, okay? More earnest. And it's young progressives, and they love falling for this. It's
they the do, number you're one right.
Easiest thing to get young progressives on. Oh my God, I'm morally superior. Did you know that he once hit on someone 7,000 miles away who was also a student, having nothing to do with him? Okay, well, that's a power dynamic. Oh, for God's sake. I mean, look, we can disagree on it. We can disagree on it. I met Ed Rendell when I was in college. He was the mayor of Philly at the time. If he'd hit on me, I wouldn't have worked. I wouldn't have been like, oh my God, power dynamic. Ed. All right, anyway. But I know that progressive young people think like, oh my God, the minute someone's more powerful, you lose all control of your senses, apparently. So don't. Who cares that they're powerful? Anyway, but this is all in an effort to one, take away his endorsements. I've been there, okay? And right now, everybody's reconsidering their endorsements. Alex is telling everybody because he's a decent guy to reconsider their endorsements. And number two, to put in the back of the minds of all the voters, remember, don't vote for Alex. He's got an issue. No, Richie Neal has an issue. Massive corruption. We're gonna put the link to Alex Morse's website in the description box below if you're watching this later. Go back him up when he needs it. This is a classic smear job against the progressive. Do not stand for it, fight back. Okay, we got a post game that is so important, but it's free for everyone. So stay right here, it's public and we'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.